Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I'm your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is Mackenzie Reeves Decker. She is the day-to-day operator of System and Soul and is a lifelong learner of leadership. Great alliteration. Take note. She's passionate about helping business owners unlock potential in their teams and gain clarity about what they can build together. Welcome to the show, Mackenzie.
Thank you. What an honor.
I'm going to pretend that there was no hint of sarcasm in your statement there, but I'll leave that to the listeners to decide. So, Mackenzie, tell me, what has been on your mind lately?
Well, I wouldn't even say if lately is like over my lifetime or over the last, maybe over, let's call it the last year. I think what's been on my mind is really unlocking and uncovering this myth of leadership and entrepreneurship. And there's a lot to that. I think for me, and we'll, maybe we get more into it, but I think for me, I've always kind of felt like I didn't belong in leadership and I wasn't an entrepreneur, but, and yet here we are, you know? And so I've always sort of felt like, oh, at some point the other shoe's going to drop and they're going to find out, you know, total imposter syndrome, doubt, all of that. And I'm getting to the other side of like, there's a lot of myths around both entrepreneurship and leadership that I think have led me to believe I don't belong here. And I don't think they're true.
Well, number one, I'm glad to hear that you have realized that's not true because I think you are a leader. But tell me, you're mentioning that there's myths and misconceptions. So what do you see is the prevailing wisdom and thought pattern around this that you found yourself susceptible to and believing for yourself? And I'm guessing you've noticed that a lot of other people are thinking this same way as well.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, I want to just preface and say that I think everyone's definition of leadership or entrepreneurship, I'm kind of talking about those things, not as the same thing, but related. I think it gets defined by probably it's like nature and nurture, you know, like there's the culture you grew up in, right? That tells you what you know about that. And for me, I think I grew up in a culture of, I live in the Bible Belt and grew up in a Southern Baptist home in a Southern Baptist church. And so leadership to me has always looked like, you know, truly, I think people standing on a podium who have a lot to say with strong opinions and just this confidence and this like conviction, like that is what leadership looks like. And on the other hand, entrepreneurship, my dad is a business owner and he has been my whole life. And I think what I saw on that end is this like major sacrifice for the sake of a business. Like in order to be a leader in a business, you have to give up so much. You have to work 7 days a week. You have to wear yourself out. And I think those are the things that I've seen and believed have to be true in order to be successful as a leader or be successful in an entrepreneurial business. And maybe there's like a little bit of truth to that. Like I think some myths come out of a little bit of truth, but overall, I think, you know, for me and some of the leaders I'm meeting with and that I see day to day now that are kind of in the same stage as me, they're sort of uncovering that as well, that it's not what it looks like at face value or what we thought it was, you know, a decade ago. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. So if I'm hearing you correctly, the picture of leadership that you saw painted for yourself, and in the area and the culture you grew up is there's a lot of, number one, you're probably elevated above and out in front of people. It's sort of that typical charismatic leader.
Yes.
That has a lot to say. There's also, it's a word you didn't say, but it's one that I've been thinking a lot about, is the word certainty. Mm-hmm. And so those leaders, would you say that the leadership tends to have, or in your circumstances, conveyed a lot of certainty about their opinions on things or whatever the topic at hand was?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then a lot of work, sacrifice maybe to the extreme, right?
Right.
The 7 days a week, basically like you work yourself into the ground for something. Mm-hmm. And so seeing those things, what for you, I mean, it's a bit of a leading question, but I guess, what have you over the last 12 to 18 months, as you mentioned that your thinking has been changing, what in that do you believe is really unproductive, maybe borderline harmful, it was for you and maybe for others?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what I've been learning over the last year is, I don't think we can show up well. I mean, out of a place of, if we're driving ourselves into the ground for the success of something, I don't think we show up over time. I think it's there's a point of diminishing returns, I think.
Right.
And maybe like the simplest example I can give is like it, and of course this doesn't happen for everybody, but like, I don't operate the same way. Like if I don't sleep well, you know, like if I get 4 hours right. of sleep, I'm like, my half of my brain isn't working, and I can show up and I can like, keep going, but it's the quality of thinking, like the renewed mindset, like none of that mm-hmm. is in play. And you know, maybe that's a silly example, but it's like, I think kind of realizing that if I don't step away from this at times to refresh my thinking, or if I don't get a second to think, and I'm constantly mm-hmm. doing, responding and reacting, then the quality of what I can produce is not, it's not there. And I think I started to learn that, and it may be by accident in a way. I think somewhat by accident and somewhat because, so I work with an incredible leader, Benj Miller, who's also on this podcast, but he's just such a proponent of that. And I think he's really driven that home for me. And like, you need to be offline, like go, I don't know what you're doing, but go and do something else, you know? And I started listening to him, cause he would, you know, yell quote unquote at me, in Slack or online, and he'd be like, get out of here. And I started just stepping back and realizing, oh, if I go on a walk or if I go rake the yard, I'm still thinking about some of this stuff, but it's, I come back to this better than when I left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other answer to your question. I think when I have a life outside of work, or if I have, if I let my mind move into other areas, I come back more creative. I come back more renewed. But I think the other part of that is everyone that I lead is watching that, you know, they're watching.
Wow.
If I'm online, then they feel like they need to be online. And if I'm asking something of them Saturday at 11 a.m., they feel like they have to answer, you know? And I started thinking like, I don't really want that for them. Like, I don't want them to be doing this at their detriment. I want them to have that same, you know, renewal and for them to know that I care about what's happening for them outside of the tasks that we have on our plate. So, I think that answers your question. I think I just started noticing, you know, there's a level of health that I really, really want for myself and for this team. And, mm-hmm. And you know, whether it's just the basics, whether it's, you know, physical health and mental and, spiritual, I want all of that, I want them to feel supported in that. I want to feel supported in that. I think I started realizing with Benj's leadership, I really started realizing I don't want to be, I don't want to be like sold out to something to the point where I'm not growing and developing all the way around, you know?
Right. Yeah. So it, a couple of things stood out. It sounds like number one, you had, you either understood the reality of the demands of your position, and what it would take to perform at that level. And that sort of pushed you to like, okay, I've got to be in this condition in order to perform at this level. The other side, which I think is interesting and might be counterintuitive for people, is noticing the detriment or potential detriment to those you lead push you to make yourself healthier. Somewhat like, you know, lots of parents report like they make life changes once they finally have kids because they see that the effects of their choices, good and bad, are having on their kids. So they'll start, hopefully they start to turn a corner or develop new disciplines. So, what did you find in seeing the responses on Saturdays or something like that? Like, how much of that is a part of you keeping yourself healthy and taking care of yourself, but also setting healthy boundaries? How did your impact on others impact your decision there? Was it a big part of it, or was it just like, oh snap, like that's just a minor correction?
I've definitely spent time over this last year. So just to, for context, I've led in teams before, but this is like, this past year, it's been a new level. I've been leading people who are, you know, I'm 31 years old, and I'm leading people who are older than me, have more business experience than me. I'm leading more people than I ever have. We're leading people in different cultures. And it's just, I think I've felt like, oh shit, like I have got to get it together. And I, in a couple of ways I needed to get it together were, I mean, I really felt like I really started thinking about how do I want to, if I'm running this, then how would I want to run this? Like if I'm making it my own, you know? And I think that was a big part of it, is like, I wanted to take care of the people that I lead. I want to say one more thing that I think I left in the dust, but I think part of that same train of thought around like, oh, I'm like trying to, I really want to lead well. And I want to make this my own. I think this is where that like huge tension of like, oh, I'm not like the charismatic leader and I'm not the one with all the answers and they need that. And here I am like showing up with all this doubt. And I was like really bothered because I'm like, this isn't how I want to be, but I don't know. I'm not that person, you know, like I'm not going to preach. I'm not super commanding. Like it's just not my style. And I always thought that was just such a problem. Like I thought that was a real good grief. I thought that was a not, you know, whatever the opposite of an asset is, it really felt like a detriment.
Liability.
A liability. Yeah. It really felt like a liability. And I feel like I just had to contend with that, you know, like I just had to learn how to like, okay, what am I going to do with this? And I think what I realized is I have to find a way to make this an asset, you know, like how do I show up and be my, just show up as, you know, me with all the questions and lack of experience and, you know, soft tone and whatever else it might be, you know, like collaborative mindset. Like, I think I just started to have to find a way to like turn the coin over and say like, okay, what value does this have? And go have confidence that it has value. I say that like it was super easy, and but it absolutely hasn't been.
Leadership's easy, right? Like that, so simple. Yeah. I don't even know why we're still writing books about it. Just to add a little bit of context to for those who don't know, you know, you've referenced the last year and a half and said, you know, this. And when you're saying, when you're leading this, obviously in your introduction, I mentioned, you know, you're the operator for System and Soul. Can you add a little bit more context for those who don't know what that looks like for you? Like maybe even a little of what System and Soul is. Clearly I know, but just to orient people around what is the role you're fulfilling, because myself or somebody else that we may have on later, that's a coach, have a very different relationship to this than you do, whereas you're sort of like, you're the woman on the inside.
The woman on the inside. I like it. So System and Soul is a business framework that we've developed, and, it really is intended to integrate and highlight both the systems that are so incredibly valuable to the foundations of any business, and the soul that's unique and, you know, a value accelerator for that business. So what we've done, and what I feel like I've just been, it's just been such a gift, and like, I'm so grateful for the role I've gotten to play. But from the get-go, I've, you know, been working with Chris and Benj, our other founders, to sort of canonize what we've developed. They have these wonderful visionary ideas, and my role is to capture and help deliver so much of the thinking and the I guess the execution pieces behind mm-hmm. the ideas that the framework supports. So my role is helping guide our team and keep our projects and our objectives that we have every quarter on track, and helping decide what's the right thing to work on to help us grow our business. So we're a startup. We're on the front end. We're like a year and 3/4 in, and this for me has been the very first entrepreneurial experience I've ever had. I've always worked in established companies and with lots of rules and processes already in place. And so here we are at the beginning, and I feel like I'm building a lot of it, and mm-hmm. it's both like thrilling and gratifying and also terrifying.
those are all great things in an entrepreneurial venture. And just again, for more context for the listener, the company you came out of was mm-hmm. super established. Yes. If you're comfortable sharing that, talk a little bit about that, because I think, you know, when people think leadership, they're associating this gentleman with mm-hmm. that, because as another leader I follow says, every time he sneezes, there's a new book. Which feels like that. Can you contrast like what you're doing now with how established that is? And I think it lends an interesting perspective to what you've been saying about leadership coming out of that organization because of the, I guess, perceived culture and what they do in the world.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I spent a stint of time with what is now called Maxwell Leadership. At the time I was there, it was called the John Maxwell Company. And John Maxwell is a world-renowned leadership author. I feel like when I was there, the count of books he's written was like 80, and it's probably like 90 or more, maybe into the, maybe 100. But, I worked there, and, I mean, just to the experience there was, I think it was so profound for me to spend, I spent 5 years in that organization. And very early in my career, and I'm like, I can't believe that I got to do that, because I think mm-hmm. I learned so much about the foundations of what leadership looks like, to, you know, to lead yourself well, to that it's both relationship and, you know, management. It's kind of this interplay that we support with System and Soul. I feel like it preceded what we're building in the best way. I would say though, the organization on the inside, I was always a team member, you know, like mm-hmm. even if I was leading a team at one point but I was more of an individual contributor most of the time. And the people in leadership were charismatic, and they were kind of the people that can bring a group together and inspire them and, you know, get them going. And I was the girl over there with my notebook being like, anyone want me to share my notes? Like, I can get it done. Just give it to me. You know, like I was just, much more on the execution side and good at it, you know, and I was, mm-hmm. and it helped me kind of rise into leadership there. But, I think what's different about working in that environment and working in the one, we are now is, I mean, I think it is that like, for me, it's been just this like big, scary gap of like, people are telling me what to do to now I'm directing myself. My decisions have greater consequences. Like they have greater return as well as consequence, right? Like there's like
that high risk, high reward.
Yeah. Like there's absolutely that sense of like, I could be wrong right now and it's going to affect people, you know, and in a new way. And yeah, I think that's probably the biggest, for me, that's the biggest thing. I forgot the second part. You had a relating it back to what I was saying earlier.
But just coming out of that environment where it's a very established company and mm-hmm. one that has been focused on leadership, but it sounds like it hasn't been until you actually exited that company, joined System and Soul, and in a more entrepreneurial, exciting and terrifying sense, that you really started to have that change of thinking of like, it doesn't have to be charismatic and galvanizing, if we're going to use some working genius language there. Yeah. So plug, I get paid 10 cents. No, I'm just kidding. I think intuitively you would think, oh yeah, you're in this great leadership teaching organization. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't that all have come about there? Instead, it came about in a startup that does focus on leadership, or that's a healthy component with the soul side of everything. But I find it interesting that that didn't occur until you, that was no longer your environment.
Yeah. You know what I would say is like, I learned all the principles, but I couldn't see, like I had to read all those books, you know, all those 80 or 100 books. But I think I knew all the information. I just didn't have, I shouldn't say I didn't have the opportunity to use it. I did. I think I was living in that kind of, imposter, or like, oh, you can't do that because I didn't look like the leaders that were in front of me. The other thing I would say is, I think like we were saying earlier, I think leadership is defined by, the environment you're in. And I think, in that particular environment, a lot of leadership is demonstrated by John Maxwell, and he's an incredible leader. Mm-hmm. And the way he leads is communicating on stage. Mm-hmm. It's writing, it's being like a voice, a big mm-hmm. voice for people. And so I think he attracts a lot of people who really want to do the same thing. Like they want right. to demonstrate leadership in the same ways. And so I think I felt like, oh, I don't want anyone to hand me a microphone. Like, Kenny, why did you ask me to do this? No, I just No, but
just
it's like,
give me a task list and it'll be done. Right.
But that's the thing is like, I had to realize there's not every situation calls for different styles of leadership and different skills. And not all leadership can be, you know, it's not all captured in one type of person. And I think that's right. But I think I just didn't really, I think because of the world I was in, I was like, I don't look like that, you know? So I think because of necessity at this point in this startup, there's just so much that's required of you that you just have to like do, you know, like you can, yeah. you cannot do it, but it's like, if I want this to succeed, I just have to like get over this fear, or I just have to like try and mm-hmm. just show up. And that's all I can do. So I think there was just necessity that forced this.
Sometimes it is nice to have your back up against the wall. And it's, I think Eminem said it well, success is my only, there's an expletive in there. My only flippant option. Failure's not. And when you feel like that, and that may not be the truth, but it can feel like that in a startup and an entrepreneurial organization, mm-hmm. That sometimes it is the push you need to get over whatever your own mental, you know, blockade is. Cause, and it sounds like in a lot of cases, and I experienced this too, being the young guy, wherever mm-hmm. I went, I was like, oh no, all the senior adult people, like even when I'm a full grown adult with children, I still feel like, oh, walk into a right. room, I'm the young guy.
Yeah.
But that was my own perception. And there's been moments where I've been pushed to get over it. And it sounds like that's been your experience. So mm-hmm. a couple of things have stood out, taking care of yourself so that one, you can perform at a high level. So if, mm-hmm. if there are, you know, hopefully there are listeners who have that sort of that drive, that high growth mindset, and they want to keep going. And if you think about it, like you would a professional athlete, that's been a metaphor that's helped me a lot lately, especially when it comes to rest. It's like mm-hmm. professional athletes have scheduled rest and recovery.
Yeah.
And what they do. So it sounds like thinking about your performance, thinking about the impact it makes on others, but then also getting out of maybe your own way or challenging your perceptions of, mm-hmm. of yourself or the conventional wisdom that says, you know, leadership is, you know, loud and proud and on stage and everything, but there's actually different expressions mm-hmm. of leadership, and certain moments call for different styles of leadership.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's sort of where you've arrived now and what you're encouraging other leaders to think about, or is there something missing there?
No, I think that's spot on. And maybe one way to encompass it is a couple of great leaders in the last year have this stuck, you know, sometimes someone says something and it's like, it just sticks to your brain. And one of those things for me has been when some of those, like, when some of that self-doubt or some of that stuff that I've seen, that's like, oh, to be a leader means to work 80 hours. Oh, being a leader means to do exactly, you know, sacrifice everything. I think the thing that sticks in my head is like, maybe you're telling yourself an old story. Like, it's like, I credit Benj again and Janat for that one, but it's like, maybe you were not capable of this 10 years ago, but maybe that's old news. And I think that's been kind of a freeing thought that I've said it to more people in the last 6 months than ever, but I think, I don't know, maybe that's helpful for anyone, wherever they are, just to the person we've been, or the way that something's been done in the past doesn't mean that it has to be done that way going forward.
Yeah, I really like that, because it also, it gives grace to the way you've been and the way you've perceived things, and isn't this shaming, like, stupid, why didn't you think it better, you know, sort of thing. There's a coming at it from, I love the, you know, maybe you're telling yourself an old story. I love that. And I think that's helpful. The other thing that connected in my brain was a quote from, know if he's in the category of theologian. I feel like he is, because I only hear him on like spiritually oriented podcasts and stuff. But Ken Wilber has a phrase that's transcend and include.
Oh.
and saying like all the things that came before. Cause like when, if like I have a bunch of kids in school. And so I have a, you know, seventh grader, sixth grader, and 2 fourth graders right now. My sixth and seventh graders shouldn't look down on the fourth grader of like, oh, you're in fourth grade. You're learning those things. I was like, yeah, you had to as well. You didn't know that. Like you may have appeared less than intelligent at that point in time, and the teacher had to educate you, son. It's probably mostly my son, because he likes to pretend that he's known everything his entire life since the womb. But I don't know where he gets it from. But, you know, it's that notion of I've gone through things, other people are going through things. And yeah, maybe, you know, there probably were mistakes, but I get to include those and keep going. And there's grace for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to maybe give themselves some grace and challenge if they were telling themselves an old story, believing they've got to work their face off, they can't take care of themselves, they've got to go to the point of exhaustion, or maybe they're just woefully unqualified because their leadership doesn't look like the picture they've had growing up or early in business. If somebody were to take a first step in the next 24 hours after hearing this, where would you tell them to start? Because obviously it's taken you, you know, 12 to 18 months after 5 years of being in an environment and getting those things installed. So you've been on a journey. What's a great first step in the next 24 hours someone can take?
Well, I think it starts with, I think it does start with the story we're telling ourselves. And maybe it's, we, in our world, we have a term called a clarity break. Where we kind of get with our thoughts and kind of think about, you know, it can be, usually it's guided by a specific question, but maybe it's two questions. It's like asking what old stories am I telling myself? And I think maybe the other one in conjunction with it is like, I think it's just asking like, what do you really want? Like, if you want it, why, and then what, if you want it, what is it? And then why can you have it or why can't you? And if it's because of some, like, it could be that you uncover some of those like self-doubt things. It's like, oh, I can't do that because X. And it's like, oh, is that true though? You know, like there's probably some, I think it's a, you know, it's a long process to uncover some of that, but I would say maybe get alone with those thoughts, what you want in the long term. And then maybe what old stories are sort of preventing that thing from being, you know, taking place. Maybe one other thing is, I think sometimes the people that love us best are the ones who can sort of, you know, pull back the curtain on some of that. Like there's probably people in everyone's sphere that are cheering them on and see things in them that they can't see yet. And sometimes I would say like, my husband Jake, he does that. He's a mirror for me and for things that I can't see. I would say my leader Benj is, you know, he does that. And I think there's probably other handful of people that just go, hey, like you don't see this, but you can do this. And I think everyone needs those people around them. So maybe it's a self-reflection and then go find those trusted voices and get their input as well.
That's excellent. And you mentioned the clarity break and you know, Chris and Benj wrote the clarity field guide. I'll put a link to that in the show notes so you can go buy it on Amazon, because it is just a phenomenal investment you can make to get some great questions to ask yourself, because it's really hard to like judo yourself into great questions and answers. And so sometimes you need that externally, sometimes from a book, sometimes from a person. And if you are going to go find that person, a great question I have found for that very situation is, and I can't take credit for it, I stole it from somebody else, but what do you know about me that I don't, but I should?
Ooh, I love that.
Now, some people are going to think they're just going to tell me all the awful, mean, nasty things about me, but that doesn't have to. It could also be, hey, you are a lot more, you know, powerful, commanding, intelligent, thoughtful, articulate than you're giving yourself credit for. So I'll put that question in there as well, because I think if you went and found some people that you really do trust and that love you and want the best for you, and you ask them that question, I think you're going to be surprised and delighted with the answers. I've done that a few times, mm-hmm. and it's always produced good results. Sometimes it stings, but it's always been for the best for me and for them.
Yeah, love that.
McKinsey, is there anything else you'd like to share that maybe we didn't cover? No is an acceptable answer as well, so you have an out.
Well, it wasn't in my outline, which I made 30 days ago. I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding.
She's not kidding at all.
Here's one thing I want to say. I feel like if you really knew me, you would know, like, I live in the world of productivity, efficiency, and living in this, like, this whole conversation, I feel like it kind of comes across as, like, very inspirational. And I think I just want to say, like, the productivity and efficiency just, they don't happen without some of this belief. So I think mm-hmm. we can't separate, like, the soft skills that we have to have from the hard mm-hmm. skills that produce results. And I think it's easy to say, oh, you know, I don't need that. Like, I can do my job without this.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, you can, but is that what you really want? And so I just want to say, I think it's a both and it's not just nice to have, you know?
Yeah. Some might say, you need a system and a soul.
That is,
I've heard that a few anyway. Here and there.
Huh.
So McKinsey, if people want to know more about System and Soul, or you, or reach out to you with questions, maybe this sparks something from them and they'd like to ask, where would you direct people to go from here?
Well, you can always learn more about the System and Soul at systemandsoul.com. And I was thinking it would be funny if I gave you a fake email and I was like, McKinsey@AOL.com. No.
SBCglobal.net.
All these fake email addresses will be in the show notes. I'm reachable. I'm reachable on LinkedIn. I'm happy to talk to anyone at any point about anything. And I feel like I'm in the center of a bunch of really cool resources. I've just been blessed to be given, you know, everything I have as far as leadership, management, development, all of those things are just, I probably have at least one idea. So if Kenny, if you want to give out my email, you can, or my LinkedIn, I'm glad.
Yeah, we'll put your LinkedIn in the show notes, and then that way people can reach out, connect, see some of the posts and things that you're sharing. And
you can give them my landline.
Yeah. Could I also include your fax number? Because that would be just terrific. But McKinsey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts, sharing your wisdom, and helping us move along and hopefully get us out of an old story. For all of you listeners, I hope that you take your next step in the next 24 hours, because your activity will breed more productivity, inspiration, and transformation. Until next time, we'll see you.